Okay.
Okay.
It's starting to unravel.
The string's coming out.
Okay. Okay, Yasha Kayat, everybody, for coming. So I think so tonight we'll talk about the mitzvah of beer chametz. So the mitzvah, so we know that when it comes to chametz, we're not allowed to have chametz on Pesach. So there are two mitzvahs in the Torah. One mitzvah in the Torah is Bal Yuroh and Bal Yemotzeh, that we're not allowed to own chametz. And then there's another mitzvah in the Torah. The pasuk says that we have to be Tashbisu Seor Mibateichem, we have to get rid of the chametz. So there's actually a positive mitzvah to get rid of the chametz, and there's also a loisa say, two lavin, against owning chametz. So we're all familiar that the Mishnah in Psachim, the beginning of the second parak, brings a machlokes tanoim. How are we mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisu? What's the proper way to get rid of the chametz? So the Mishnah at the beginning of the second parak in Psachim, so it's actually, I actually printed it there. It should be the second page after the outline. So the Mishnah brings a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim and the Rabbanon, how to dispose of the chametz properly. So the Mishnah says, Kol shosh shemutter lechol, meichol behema lechayu le'oifos. So the Mishnah starts off that as long as you're allowed to eat your chametz, you're allowed to feed it to the animals. We're not afraid that the animals are going to run off and hide the chametz. U'moicher le'nachri, you're allowed to sell the chametz to a non-Jew before Pesach. U'mutter b'hanasei, and then you're allowed to benefit from the chametz. However, over azmanoi, but once the time passes, and now it's already time that you can't get hanah from the chametz, osir b'hanah, you're not allowed to benefit from the chametz, v'lo yasik boi tanur v'kirayim, you're not allowed to use the chametz as firewood for your oven, and we'll explain what the chiddush of that is in a moment. Rabbi Yehuda oimer ein bir chametz ela sreifa. Rabbi Yehuda says the proper way of getting rid of the chametz is through sreifa. You have to burn the chametz. The chachamim say af mefarer v'zayra l'ruach. You can even scatter it and throw it into the wind, or you could toss it into the sea. So there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, how to fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisu, how to get rid of the chametz. So obviously, if you don't have any chametz, you won't be over Bal Yiroa, Bal Yemotzi, you're not going to violate owning chametz. This is talking about the mitzvah of Tashbisu, how to destroy the chametz. According to the Chachamim, you don't have to burn the chametz. All you have to do is scatter the chametz or throw it into the sea. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to actually burn the chametz. That's the Mishnah in Psach. Now, there's a very interesting Mishnah in Tmura. I printed that should be the next page in the handout. I printed some of it. It doesn't have the entire Mishnah there, but I printed the first half of the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Tmura, at the end of Maseches Tmura, gives us a very interesting difference between whenever you have to burn something, as opposed to when you don't have to burn it, you just have to get rid of it, you have to bury it, or you have to scatter it. So, for example, the Mishnah gives us a whole list of things. Sometimes when you have something that's asur bahana, you don't have to burn it. Ashor haniskal. If you have an ox, if an ox killed someone, so you have to kill the ox. It's a shor haniskal. You have to stone the ox. You have to condemn the ox. So the shor haniskal, it doesn't have to be burned. It's asur bahana, but you don't have to burn it. Another example, egla rufa. Right, the egla rufa. If you ever find a corpse, so you bring the egla rufa. You have to kill the egla on the makam in the nachal eson. So it's asur b'hana. You can't benefit from the egla rufa, but it doesn't say anywhere you have to burn it. Right, it's asur b'hana, but you don't have to burn it. And we have many examples of this. There are other examples where it's asur b'hana and you do have to burn it. So for example, arla. Arla, if you have the first 3 years of fruit, the Mishnah says you have to burn the arla. If you have klai kerem, if you ever planted a wheat and barley in your vineyard, you have to burn the product. So now, the Mishnah goes ahead and says a very interesting difference. The difference between when you have to burn it or when you only have to bury it is what happens if you burn it. If you burn what you're supposed to burn, what you're mechuyev to burn, the ashes are mutter bahana. Right. Once you destroy the chametz, you do not the chametz or the isser hana. When you burn the isser hana like you're supposed to, if the mitzvah is to burn it, call on a srafin. If the mitzvah is to burn it, once you burn it, the ashes are mutter b'hana. But when it comes to an isser hana, let's say the shor haniskal, or let's say some of the other examples of isser hana, egla rufa, even if you burn it, the resulting ashes will be asur b'hana. we look at the ashes as a product of the Isser Hanah, and since it was originally Asar B'Hanah, the ashes are also Asar B'Hanah, so you want to use the ashes now as some kind of ointment, like they used to use it to rub on the skin or to rub on a wound. You wouldn't be allowed to, because the ashes are also Asar B'Hanah. If you would make it into coal or something like that, you wouldn't be able to use the ashes or the coal to cook, because it's Asar B'Hanah. The only time it becomes Mutar B'Hanah is only if you're supposed to burn it. If you're supposed to burn it, then it becomes mutar b'hanah. But if the halacha is that you're not required to burn it, even if you decide to burn it, the resulting ashes will not be, they'll remain asr, they will not be mutar b'hanah, because we look at it like it's a product of the isr hanah. We'll explain this a little bit more as we go along. So now, the Gemara here in Tmura, I didn't print the second half of the next Amud, but the Gemara in Tmura explains that when the Mishnah says chametz is one of the things that you're required to burn, so the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the halacha is you have to burn the chametz to be mekayim tashbisu, so the ashes will be mutar b'hanah. That means if on Pesach, if you find chametz on Pesach and you burn it the way you're supposed to, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even though you weren't allowed to be nene from the chametz while it was be'en, while it was around, while it was intact, once you burn it, the halacha is you can be nene from the ashes. But according to the chachamim, who hold that you're not allowed, that you're not required to burn the chametz, you just have to scatter it. Even if you burn the chametz, the ashes will be aser b'hanah. Now, just to clarify, if you burn chametz before Pesach, so when by the time Pesach comes, it's no longer edible, it's not considered chametz, so it never became asar b'hanah in the first place. We're talking about chametz that made it into Pesach, where it already was asar b'hanah. If you burn it, will it release it from its isar hanah? That depends on the machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and the chachamim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, since the mitzvah is to burn it, so the halacha is the ashes will be mutter. According to the chachamim, so kol hanigbarin afarin is asar, even if you burn it, it's not going to help to release it from the isar hanah, and the resulting ashes will still be asar b'hanah. Now, it's very interesting because the Mishnah in Tmura says, and the Gemara explains, that since that's the case, something that is not required to be burned, you're actually not supposed to burn it. Because if you do burn it, people will think that the ashes are mutar b'hanah. And if there's no mitzvah to burn it, right, the ashes are asar b'hanah. So if the mitzvah is to burn it, so obviously you burn it, and the ashes are mutar b'hanah. But if the mitzvah is not to burn it, if there's no mitzvah to burn it, then you're not allowed to burn it usually, because the ashes will remain asar b'hanah, and people will think that it's min hanisrafim. People will think it's something that was supposed to be burned, and people will think you could be nene from the afer, from the ashes, and halacha is you can't. So usually the halacha is that the nikbarin, things that are supposed to be buried, are not supposed to be burnt. Okay. Now, we have over here a machlekes in our Mishnah between Rabbi Huda and the Chachamim, if you're required to burn the chametz, or if you're only required to scatter it. According to Rabbi Huda, if you burn it, the ashes will be mutter. According to the Chachamim, they'll be aser. There's a machlekes rishonim, how we paskin, right? Do we paskin like Rabbi Huda, or do we paskin like the Chachamim? So Rashi in Psachim paskins like Rabbi Huda, that ain bir chametz el b'sreifa, you have to burn the chametz. But the Ga'onim and the Rosh, others, paskin like the Chachamim, that there's no mitzvah to burn the chametz. All you have to do is scatter the chametz. You're not required to burn it at all. The Rambam paskins like the Chachamim that you're not required to burn the chametz at all. So what do we do lahalacha? Because there's a machlekes now if you're supposed to burn it or you're not supposed to burn it. What are you supposed to do? So the Tur paskins that we're machmir. So we burn it like Rabbi Yehuda, but we can't be nene from the ashes like the Chachamim. Because the Chachamim hold that you're not required to burn the chametz, and whenever you're not required to burn something, the ashes remain aser because it's a product of the original Isser Hanah. So that's how it's brought in Tur. The way it's brought in Tur. So any chametz that was burned before Pesach, it never became aser in the first place. So this would apply to the chametz that you would burn on Pesach. We're going to clarify this. We're going to clarify this more in a minute. Okay, so that's what the Tur paskins to do. The Tur paskins that
if the product is asar b'hanah, the fact that it's burnt now, it's still a product that
right.
was
right. We look at it. We look at the ashes as a product of the original.
Right. So
it's
because
the chametz, you have to burn it. Is that chametz anymore?
Before Pesach.
Why not?
It's not chometz. No, because then it's no longer edible, so it's not chometz in the first place. We're talking about once it was asur bahana, what happens when you burn it?
Yeah, do
we
look at it? Found on Pesach.
So it's not something that's a product of chometz. Which it's something that had to become mamish.
Yeah, just to clarify, the criteria is not that it's a product of chametz, yeah, because a product of chametz is sometimes mutter. A product of isuri hana remains asur, right? So if the chametz was asur bahana, so the ashes is nothing else.
It would have to be isur hana.
It was already chal the isur hana.
It would have to become isur hana.
Right, after it was already chal the isur hana.
Not that it was raya too, but actually became.
Right, correct. It has to be right. In other words, it has to be asur bahana. Before it's asur bahana, if you burn it, it was never chametz. It never became asur bahana. But once it was chametz on Pesach and it was neser bahana, so if I burn it, can I be nana from the Afer? So it depends. If the halacha is that you were required to burn it, then you could be nana from the Afer. If the halacha is that you weren't required to burn it, so then the ashes themselves are just a product of what was already neser. It was chal the isur hana, and the ashes will remain asur bahana. Now, just to point out, the Rambam, and that's how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Lashon of Rambam. We paskin, like the Chachamim, that you're not required to burn it. So the halacha is like this. Ketzad bir chametz. How do you get rid of the chametz? Sarfai. You either burn it, or you can scatter it. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, straight like the Rambam. The Ramah says that our minig is, like Rabbi Yehuda, to burn the chametz. Now, the Rambam, it's very interesting. The Rambam says that even in the Chachamim, you have a choice whether you can burn it or whether you can scatter it, right? So the Mefarshim ask on the Rambam that if you're paskening straight away like the Chachamim, then you shouldn't be allowed to burn it, because if you hold like the Chachamim, that you're not required to burn it, so Afarin will be Usr, the ashes will be Usr, and therefore you shouldn't be allowed to burn it. So the Chak Yaakov says, we'll get to that, because are we talking about on Pesach or before? We're going to get to that. So the Chak Yaakov explains that when it comes to Chametz, we make a special exception, that because there's an Isr Bal Yeroyah, so then you're even allowed to burn it. Okay, so we have a machlokes tanoim, and we have a machlokes in the poskim, how we paskin, what is the correct way to get rid of chametz. So then we're going to discuss it now. Now the next step will clarify your question right now. Now the Gemara in Psachim on Daf Yud Beis, which I printed there, has a fascinating machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, and it gets even more exciting over here. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, so we know the halacha that midoraisa, erev Pesach, chametz is only usher from chatzos and on. So from the seventh hour and on, from after 6 hours in the morning, the first half of the day, from the seventh and on, that's when it's usher bahana midoraisa. Now we know that we're allowed to eat chametz erev Pesach up until and including the fourth hour. The fifth hour, we're still allowed to be nene, but we can't eat it. The sixth hour, we can't even be nene. Our minig is to burn chametz during the fifth hour. Now the Gemara asks, why did they aser 2 hours before chatzais? Right, because you're not allowed to eat the chametz the fifth hour, right? 2 hours before chatzais, and you're not allowed to be nene from the chametz midrabbanon the sixth hour, the last hour before chatzais. Why did the rabbanon make the extra 2 hours? So the Gemara suggests, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, since you have to burn the chametz, we want to give you an extra hour to collect wood, to get the fuel, to burn the chametz. That's what the Gemara suggests. The Gemara ends up rejecting this, but that's what the Gemara suggests. But then the Gemara says a statement. Why? Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, this is the Gemara Psachim Yud Beis Amud Beis in the middle of the Amud, the Gemara speaks out that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that Ein Bir Chametz Ela Sreifa, that you have to burn the chametz, that's only Amosai Shaloi Bishas Biuro. So the Gemara says, when do you have to burn the chametz? Shaloi Bishas Biuro. You only have to burn the chametz when it's not the regular time to destroy the chametz. Avo Bishas Biuro, but at the time that you're supposed to destroy the chametz, Hashbasase B'chol Davar, you can destroy it any way you want. So Rabbi Yehuda himself, this is about when the lines get wide, it's about 6 lines above the wide lines. So the Gemara speaks out, when does Rabbi Yehuda require you to burn the chametz? Shelo b'shas b'ura. You only have to burn the chametz when it's not the usual time to destroy the chametz. Avo b'shas b'ura, but if it's the usual time, if it's the right time to burn the chametz, to destroy the chametz, hashpasasa b'chol davar, then you can destroy it any way you want. Now, what does this mean? What is the right time and what's the not the right time? So Rashi explains the Gemara. It probably fits into the words better, but it's a tremendous chiddush l'halacha. Rashi says that shelo b'shas be'uro means that you only have to burn the chametz according to Rabbi Yehuda when it's not the right time to burn it. That means before the Torah requires you to burn it, before chatzos, during the sixth hour, right, when it's still usher, when it's still mutter midaraisa, that's considered shelo b'shas be'uro. That's the time where you're not required yet midaraisa to burn the chametz. That's when you have to burn the chametz. Mamish the opposite. But when it's shas b'uro, when it's the right time to burn the chametz, that means once it's midaraisa, the second half of the day, then you don't have to burn it. So according to Rashi, the only time Rabbi Yehuda requires you to burn the chametz is the sixth hour, before you're required to burn it midaraisa, when you're still allowed to have chametz midaraisa. The only time you have to burn the chametz is before it's aser midaraisa. Once it's aser midaraisa already, let's say the person kept his chametz into past chatzos, into the middle of the day, he no longer has to burn the chametz. So the Gemara says, you don't have to give him an extra hour to have wood, because if he doesn't have any wood, he'll just wait till after chatzos, and then he can destroy it any way he wants. That's according to Rashi. So according to Rashi, the only time you have to burn the chametz is the sixth hour when it's asur b'hana midurabana. But if you wait till Erev Pesach when it's already after chatzos, you don't have to burn the chametz according to Rashi, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. So it'll be asur b'hana, but you won't be required to burn the chametz. So the svara probably is that Tosfos asks Akasha and Rashi that it's very hard to understand, right? Tosfos says the whole reason why you have to burn the chametz, Rabbi Yehuda says in the second parak, is because we learn it out of noiser. Noiser means when the kugshim become disqualified, you have to burn the kugshim. So we compare noiser to kugshim that were nifsal. When do you have to burn kugshim? After their asr bahana. So how could it be that according to Rashi, you only have to burn the chametz before it's asur b'hana midaraisa? So Tosfos argues in Rashi, Tosfos says that when the Gemara says you only have to burn the chametz shelo b'shas bi'uro at the wrong time, that's when it's already asur midaraisa, because usually people get rid of the chametz before. So it's fakir. Before chatzos, according to Tosfos, you don't have to burn the chametz in Rabbi Yehuda, because that's considered shas bi'uro. That's the normal time to get rid of the chametz. You don't need to burn it then, because midaraisa, you're allowed to own the chametz. The only time you have to burn the chametz is shelo b'shas be'uro, the way we normally understand it, once it's aser midoraisa. After chatzos, when it's aser b'hana, that's when you have to burn the chametz, because that's shelo b'shas be'uro, that's the unusual time to be getting rid of your chametz, because usually you get rid of the chametz before it becomes aser, when you're supposed to erev Pesach. You're not supposed to wait till after it's ready aser. We have over here a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos, when Rabbi Yehuda's halacha applies. According to Rashi, Rabbi Yehuda's halacha only applies before chatzos. That's when you have to burn it. According to Tosfos, it's the opposite. Rabbi Yehuda's halacha only applies after chatzos.
What does Rashi say?
Betchila Shesh means once it becomes aser. Betchila Shesh means the beginning of the sixth when it's aser. Because that I hear. Because starting from the beginning when it's aser b'hana. In other words, if I would want to get rid of it in the fifth hour, I wouldn't have to burn it. The only time you have to burn it is when it's aser b'hana midrabanan. Now, coming back to the question you raised, so the Karban Nisanal in the second parak says that according to Rashi, the whole limud from Noser is only derabanan, it's only an asmachta. You don't really have to burn the chametz at all midaraisa, because how could it be that there's a chiyuv to burn something if you're still allowed to eat it midaraisa, right? So according to Rashi, the only time you have to burn the chametz is during the sixth hour when it's only aser b'hana midrabanan, so l'chayra, the whole chiyuv to burn it would only be derabanan. Once you get into the seventh hour when it's aser midaraisa, it's also b'hana midaraisa, you're not even required to burn it anymore. So now, if we come back to our shiloh, so we have to just fit this in. So according to, let's come back to what you were talking about before. According to Tosfos, that the iser hana midaraisa is after the seventh hour, is from the sixth hour and on, the seventh hour and on. So according to Tosfos, the machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan is when it's aser b'hana midaraisa. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you burn it after it's aser b'hana midaraisa, you can be nena from the efer, you can be nena from the ashes. According to the Chachamim, if you burn it when it's aser midaraisa, you can't be nena from the ashes. That's according to Tosfos. According to Rashi, fakert. After it's aser b'hana midaraisa, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you burn it, you won't be able to be nena from the ashes, because there's no longer a chiyuv to burn it. It's aser b'hanah midoraisa, and there's no longer a chiyuv to burn it. The only time there's a chiyuv to burn it is when it's aser b'hanah midrabanan during the sixth hour, and the whole thing is only the rabbanan. So the whole Gemara in Temura that makes this distinction between Rabbi Yehuda and the rabbanan is in the sixth hour, when it's a shad rabbanan, when it's only aser b'hanah midrabanan. At that time, after it was already aser, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you burn it, it'll release it from the issur derabanan, and according to the Chachamim, it won't. But once you get to the seventh hour, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you burn the chametz, it's too late. You won't be able to be nena from the ashes. You have to get rid of the chametz because you can't own chametz. But it won't help to burn it to be able to be nena from the ashes. Okay, so now if we take a step back now, it's very interesting what we do. What is our minig? Our minig is to burn the chametz in the fifth hour. The reason why the Paiskim say we do that is because we still, I don't know how this evolved, how this minig evolved, but we still wait to be mevatel the chametz until the time of the Sreifa. Once it becomes Asr B'Hanah, you're not able to be mevatel the chametz anymore. So we bedavka burn the chametz in the fifth hour while it's still Mutter B'Hanah. So it's very interesting because when we burn the chametz, what are we fulfilling? According to the Rambam, he paskins like the Chachamim that you're not required to burn the chametz altogether. According to, right, so it's the machlekes how we paskin, like the Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. According to, if we want to fulfill the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, according to Tosfos, you're not mechuyev to burn the chametz until after Chatzos. And according to Rashi, you're only mechuyev to burn the chametz in the sixth hour when it's aser b'hanah midrabanan. Nobody holds that you're required to burn the chametz in the fifth hour when it's still mutter b'hanah. Nobody holds like that, right? So it comes out that we're just doing a minig ba'alma, right, to burn the chametz in the fifth hour. So I would want to suggest that maybe the reason why we do that, the Poskim say the reason is because we're still mevatel the chametz at the time of the Sreifa. So we want to burn it at a time when we can still be mevatel. I would want to suggest that the reason why we burn it in the fifth hour is a remez to Rabbi Yehuda, but because it's a machlekes, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda or the Chachamim, we want to avoid the Eifer being Aser problem. So we burn it at a time, like you were saying before, before it became chametz, and that way the Eifer is for sure mutter, like you were saying before. So that's the sort of like the background between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim and how we paskin. And our minig, the way our minig evolved, is a very interesting minig, how it evolved. Okay.
I just thought we were just being overly cautious.
Overly cautious, but what are we even fulfilling? Right? Because nobody says you have to burn the chametz when we burn the chametz. Not the Chachamim and not Rabbi Yehuda. Not Rashi, not Tosfos.
We're burning it before our chiyuv.
Right, true. But why don't we just throw it out? What are we fulfilling, right?
So it's a minig. Should look like beer chametz.
Right, exactly, to remind us of the minig of beer chametz, in case you find chametz on Pesach, that you'll remember to burn it. So we're burning it before, like for example, the halacha is, someone mentioned this before, what if Erev Pesach falls out on a Shabbos, right? So we get rid of the chametz on Friday, which is a day before, and we still burn the chametz, right? We don't defrain, even though it's 2 days before, right? The reason why we do that, there's absolutely no chiyuv to burn the chametz at that time, but it's a remez, it's just that we should remember the halacha of burning chametz in case you ever find chametz on Pesach, right? But at that time, nobody would really require you to burn the chametz. Now, there's a very interesting kasha from Rabbi Kiva Eger. So we were saying the whole time that chametz is subject to the machlekes of sreifa, and the Mishnah in Temura says that whenever you're required to burn something, the ashes are mutter. Whenever you're not required to burn something, the ashes are aser. So now on the page in Temura, so I printed the page in Temura. Tosfos asks, it's the Tosfos on Lamed Gimel on the days in Temura. I believe it's the second Gemara sheet in the handout. So it's the last Tosfos on the page. Hanisrafim. So Tosfos asks a kasha. Hanisrafim afaran mutter, v'nikbaran afaran aser. So this is the rule of the Mishnah, that anything that's required to be burnt, anytime you have an Isser Hanah that required to be burnt, the ashes are mutter, but when it's only required to be buried, the ashes are aser. They remain aser. So Tzarech Ian asks Tosfos, Taima mai, what's the difference? What's the reason for this? Why is it that if you hold that you have to burn it, the ashes are mutter, and if you hold that you only have to bury it, even if I burn it, the ashes remain aser? V'omar moiri haramar, The nisrafin, so Tosfos says a gevaldik yisoy. If the Torah says you have to burn it, kiven shetziva hakasuv lesarfan, since the Torah commanded you to burn it, achar sha'asa, so after you do it, ki'ilu nasis mitzvasoy. It's as if you performed the mitzvah. You were mekayim the purpose of the isur hanas. So Tosfos is really bringing a concept from kadshim. The halacha is, let's say you have shlamim, let's say you have a carbon. So the halacha is that you're not allowed to eat the carbon before you sprinkle the blood. Once you sprinkle the blood of the carbon, now it releases the carbon from the isur, and now you're allowed to eat it. It's no longer subject to mi'ila. The halacha is that whenever something's asur b'hana, it's only asur b'hana until you fulfill what the Torah wants you to do with it. So if the Torah says, I want you to burn this isur hana, once you burn the isur hana, it was nasi mitzvasi. It was fulfilled. The mitzvah was fulfilled. The purpose of the isur hana was fulfilled. The purpose was to aser you from using it until you burn it. Once you burn it, you fulfilled the tachlis, the purpose of the isur hana, and it's released from the isur hana. It's like kadshim. So if the Torah says to burn it, orla, klai kerem, why is the Torah asering it b'hana? Because the Torah wants you to burn it. Once you burn it, you released it from the isur, and it becomes mutter, because that's why it was aser b'hana in the first place. Like kadshim, like a carbon. Once you offer it, whatever's left becomes mutter. But if the Torah never require you to burn it, so it was just an isur hana, it was just a freestanding isur hana. And even if you burn it, the ashes will just be the result of the original isur hana. You never fulfilled the mitzvah, so it remains asur b'hana. The only time we say burning it makes it mutter is if the tachlis of the isur was in order to get you to burn it. Then once you burn it, you fulfill the mitzvah. That's what Tosfos says. So if the halacha is you have to burn it, it's nasi mitzvasei, and we have a principle, ein lecha davar shenasi mitzvasei umoyalim boy. He compares it to kagshim, that there's no such thing as having me'ila, there's no longer a prohibition to use it once you fulfill the mitzvah. Hachinami, the same thing here, kiving shenasi mitzvasei, once you fulfill the mitzvah, holach isura, the isur goes away, right? So if the halacha is that you're required to burn it, the isur will go away. If the halacha is that you're not required to burn it, you're only required to bury it, that people shouldn't be over, so there's no mitzvah to burn it, so then it's not released from the isur, and the ashes will just be the result, the product of the original isur hana. That's what Tosfos says. So Frecht Rav Kiva Eger, a Gevaldig Kasha. Rav Kiva Eger asks that if that's the case, it's not so much the difference between whether I have to burn it or not. The halacha is there a mitzvah to do with this thing or not? So let's say Shor HaNiskal. Once you kill the shor, or once you kill the Egel Arufa, the Torah doesn't say what to do with it. There's absolutely nothing, you don't have to do anything with it. So there's nothing to do to release it from the Isser. When something has to be burnt, the Torah prescribes what to do with the Isser. No, that's why it becomes released. So when it comes to chametz, it's true that the Chachamim hold, this is Rav Kiva Eger's kasha, it's true that the Chachamim hold that you don't have to burn it, but they still say you have to scatter it. So there's still a mitzvah to do, there's still tashbisu, so it's not so much that burning versus not burning. The difference is, was there a prescription? Is there a mitzvah to do something with this or not? If there's a mitzvah to burn it, then you fulfill the mitzvah, it gets released. If there's no mitzvah to burn it, then you can't do anything to release it from the isur hana. So Frecht Rav Kiva Eger, over here, there's no mitzvah to burn it, granted, but there's a mitzvah to scatter it, so that itself, to get rid of it, that itself should be nasa mitzvasa, and it should be released from the isur hana. Even if I don't burn it, even if I scatter it. Because as long as I fulfill the tachlis of the isur, that itself should be matzeret, right? So if there would be for some reason...
It's not here.
It's not here. No, if there would be, if the rule would be that for some reason burning it makes it mutter b'hana, right? Then I understand. Only if the Torah says to burn it. But according to Tosfos, it's not so much that the burning it is what permits it, it's the nasa mitzvasa, the fact that you fulfilled the objective of the isur. So if the Torah prescribes now what you're supposed to do, you have to burn this. So when you burn it, it releases it from the isur hana. So over here, the chachamim hold, you don't have to burn it, but you have to scatter it, right? So if you have to scatter it, so what's the difference if the Torah says burn it or scatter it? If I do what I'm supposed to do with the cheftza, with the chametz, that should release it from the isur hana. That's what Kiva Eger asks. So now, there's a very well-known...
Yes, but let's say, for example, you scattered it.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And you went and you found a piece of chometz.
Right.
Still chometz.
But you don't need to do anything more. You made it down to Pirurin. The Pirurin are no longer significant.
Okay.
So that should be like the ashes of Isur Hana. You can't eat it. You can't eat it. But you should be allowed to be Nene, because you broke it down to being insignificant. You did what you were supposed to do to the object.
But still, you're admitting that it's still considered
homage. So of course you can't. Of course you can't. Of course you can't. Of course you can't eat it. But you fulfilled what the Torah wanted you to do. You destroyed it to the extent that you're required to destroy it. So there's the Prisha says like you're saying. The Prisha says like you're saying. We'll get to that in a minute. But so far, Rikvega's question makes a lot of sense because the Torah says it's aser v'ana until you break it down to insignificance, right? So I broke it down to crumbs, to being insignificant. So that should be a fulfillment of nasa mitzvasei, and it should become released from its isrona. I can't eat it, of course, but it should release it from its isrona.
Now, my understanding is that the purpose why the Chazal made it necessary to burn it is because this way it becomes not the idea is because you might find it or something, and then you might come to eat it by accident. If you're burning it, it's no longer royal achima.
Right. So actually, in terms of, let's say I would burn chametz and eat it, I wouldn't be over eating chametz, right? But chametz was asur bahana. You can't benefit from it. Now, unless the Torah says to burn it, burning it is not going to release it from its isur hana. You're right. If I eat it after its ashes, it's not royal achila. It's not derech achila. I won't be chayv karis for eating chametz. But you still shouldn't be nena from it because it's still a product of what was asavana before. So it's only according to Rabbi Yehuda that the Torah specifically says to burn it that you fulfill the mitzvah and the ashes will be released and now you can be nena from the ashes. Let's say you find chametz on Pesach and you burn the chametz. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you can use the ashes now for an ointment, whatever you want. But according to the Chachamim, the halacha is it doesn't help to burn it. It won't be chametz anymore. That you, if you eat it, you won't be chayav for eating chametz. But it's still the result. It's the product of isur hana. You wouldn't be able to be nena, right? But Rabbi Kiveger asks. But you still had a mitzvah to do. You still had to break it down to being insignificant. So if I break it down or if I burn it, I should be allowed to be nena even according to the chachamim. What's the difference if the Torah prescribes burning or prescribes breaking it down? So there's a well-known Rav Chaim, and the yeshivas. Everybody discusses this in the yeshivas. He says a very gishmaki said. He says like this: what is the mitzvah of tashbisu? The mitzvah to get rid of the chametz. Is the mitzvah to get rid of the chametz to simply avoid being over bal yeroah, right? So we mentioned before, there's an isser to own chametz, and there's a positive mitzvah to get rid of the chametz. Is the positive mitzvah to get rid of the chametz simply to avoid owning the chametz? It's a din in the gavra that the person shouldn't be over bal yeroah, or is it a din in the chefza? Or is it a mitzvah that besides being over bal yeroah, we want you to destroy the chametz? So Rav Chaim says that is really fundamentally the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. Right? According to Rabbi Yehuda, over and above not being over bal yeroah, there's a mitzvah in the chefza. There's a mitzvah to destroy the chametz. Just like noiser, just like when it comes to kachim, you're allowed to own the kachim that will puzzle. There's a mitzvah to burn the kachim, so that releases it from the iser. So when it comes to chametz also, besides not being allowed to own the chametz, for that you can just throw it away. Right, but besides not being over bal yeroah, the Torah specifically wants you to destroy the chametz. That's why the Torah says you have to burn the chametz. It's a mitzvah in the chefza. So then, if you burn the chametz, you fulfill the mitzvah of the object, and that will release the object from the isur hana. But according to the Chachamim, says Reb Chaim, the Torah doesn't say you have to burn it. So what's the objective of the mitzvah of tashbisu? Simply not to be over bal yeroah. It's a reinforcement that if you own chametz, number one, you're over the lav of owning chametz, and number two, the Torah says specifically, tashbisu, get rid of the chametz in order not to be over bal yeroah. So it's not a mitzvah in the chefza. The Torah doesn't. The mitzvah is not to destroy the chametz. The mitzvah is simply not to own the chametz, to disown yourself of the chametz. So if you hold that the mitzvah is of tashbisu, this is actually a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. If you hold the mitzvah is to get rid of the chametz, you naturally would assume that the mitzvah is to get rid of the chametz before you're over bal yeroah, right? Tosfos says in a few places that the mitzvah of bal yeroah bal yemotzeh is a lav hanitik la'aseh. It's a lav which has the antidote of an aseh. So Tosfos has a major chiddush. You're actually allowed to own chametz on Pesach if you're holding on to it in order to destroy it, because according to Tosfos, the lav is connected to the yaseh. The yaseh is like the remedy of the lav. It's a lav anitik la'aseh. So Tosfos actually says you can actually buy, nobody does this, you can buy chametz on Pesach in order to destroy the chametz, because the aveira is to hold on to the chametz for yourself. But if you're trying to get rid of it, you're not over.
So it's amazing. It's basically what you're thinking here, according to this, according to that.
Right, right. So this is what Reb Chaim says. Now the Chazon Ish argues, and the Chazon Ish says really what you were saying. He brings a Prisha who says what you were saying, that no, the Chachamim also agree that Tashbisu, the mitzvah of getting rid of the chametz, besides not owning it, is a positive mitzvah to destroy the chametz. But he says what you said, the reason why the crumbs remain asur bahana is because the only time we say it's released from its isser is if the Torah commands you to completely eradicate it. But if all the Torah requires you to do is to scatter it, to make it insignificant, since the crumbs themselves are still chametz, it does not have the level of nasa mitzvaso that the Torah requires, and therefore it remains asur even if you burn it, like we said before. So it comes out there's a machlekes here because between Rav Chaim and the Chazon Ish in the Chachamim. What's the purpose of Tashbisu? Is the purpose of Tashbisu simply to avoid being over Bal Yeruah, to avoid being over the Isser, and therefore if you destroy the Chametz, you didn't fulfill anything in the Chepetzah? Or according to the Chazon Ish, there is a mitzvah to destroy the Chametz even in the Chachamim. You're not required to burn it, but there is a mitzvah to destroy the Chametz, but that type of mitzvah doesn't release the Chametz from its Isser Hana. That's the Machlokes Reb Chaim and the Chazon Ish. Right, so there's two ways of looking at it in the Chachamim. Is Tashbisu simply to avoid being over Bal Yeruah? That's Reb Chaim. And that's why even if I choose to burn the Chametz, it won't release it from the Isser because there never was a mitzvah to destroy the Chametz. It's just not to own it. It's just a way of not owning it. Or according to the Chazon Ish and the Prisha, there is a mitzvah to destroy the Chametz, but since you don't have to burn it, the Torah doesn't want you to eradicate it completely. That's why it remains Asur Bahana. So there are a couple of interesting nafkaminas.
That's where I understand why it's called Asur Bahana, according
So it's hard to understand, but the Prisha says the only time we say Nasa Mitzvasai is only, sort of like you were saying, is only because, only when you have to be Mechala it, when you have to completely destroy it. If all the Torah requires you is just making it insignificant, but you're not destroying the crumbs are still Chametz crumbs, so that's not enough of a Nasa Mitzvasai to release it.
To burn it.
Because you're making it, you're reducing it to ash. That's Nasa Mitzvasa. The only time we say that the Isser Hanah goes away is if the Torah says, I want you to totally burn it down to ashes. But if the Torah says it's sufficient to just break it up, to crumble it up, then that does not, say, we don't say Nasa Mitzvasa on that. That's what the Prisha says.
When all you do is just break it into crumbs.
So now, since that's all I'm required to do, you go back to what we said before. Even if I burn it, but there was no mitzvah to do that, so the ashes remain asur b'hana. The only time we say the ashes become mutar b'hana is if the Torah wanted you to do that. But if you do that on your own, right, then the ashes are just a product of the original isur hana. So the question just was, but wasn't I required to at least crumble it? Okay, but crumbling it would not have released it from its isur hana. See, even if you choose to burn it, it doesn't help, because it's a product of the original isur hana. That's the chacham. So it comes out now that we have two ways of understanding the mitzvah of Tashbisu. One way of understanding the mitzvah of Tashbisu, according to Reb Chaim, is simply to avoid being over Bal Yeruah, and that's why if I destroy it, it'll be Asur Bahana, because it didn't help, because there was no mitzvah to destroy it. It's just to avoid being over Bal Yeruah. And then the other way of understanding it is, even in the Chachamim, there is a positive mitzvah to crumble up and destroy the Chametz, it's just that wouldn't be enough to release it from the Isur Hanah. So now, this is a very interesting shaila. What happens if you've actually find Chametz on Pesach? So usually, we're mevatel our chametz before, so we're not going to be over Bal Yeruah anyway. Even if you find chametz on Pesach, you're not over Bal Yeruah, because we already were mevatel it before. But theoretically, a person wasn't mevatel, or sometimes the poskim say, what if we don't do this on Pesach either anymore, but what if you're baking on Pesach, and by accident, it turns into chametz, so it wasn't included in your original bittel. So you actually have real chametz on Pesach that was not covered by your original bittel. Either you weren't mevatel, or it became chametz on Pesach. So now you have big problems. You have a problem of Bal Yeruah. So if it's Chol HaMoed, you should certainly burn it. What do you do if it's Yom Tif? So there's a big discussion in the Poskim. Some say that if you have chametz that was not included in the bittel, some say that you should even burn it on Yom Tif, and even though you're not burning it for the purpose of eating, but we know that you're allowed to light a fire on Yom Tif if it's a Tzerech Yom Tif. So the Tzerech, the mitzvah of getting rid of chametz, that's considered a Tzerech Yom Tif. Other people say no, that you still shouldn't burn it because it's not considered a Tzerech Yom Tif. You should just cover it over and get rid of it on Chol HaMoed. So the Poskim discuss like this. The Poskim say the Magen Avraham brings, maybe the best idea would be to get a non-Jew, to get a goy, because the chametz is muksa also. That's another problem. So maybe you should get a goy to carry the chametz outside and throw the chametz away, right? So that's what the Magen Avraham says. So he discusses whether this is a good option or not. Maybe you shouldn't do this because maybe the goy is not trusted. He might eat it. Maybe he won't destroy it properly. So maybe you shouldn't rely on a goy to do it. Rav Kivager asks that this is not a good idea anyway, because since there's no shlichus for a goy, since the goy is not considered my shliach, because only a Jew can be a shliach for another Jew, so if I get a goy to destroy the chametz for me, I'm not being mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisu, because ain't shlichus la'akum. Mm-hmm. So I think that Rabbi Kiva Eger is going l'shitasei from before, because Rabbi Kiva Eger understood, he's the one who asked the original question to begin with, that why in the chachamim, if you get rid of the chametz, why doesn't it release it from the Isser Hanah? Because Rabbi Kiva Eger understood that there's a positive mitzvah to destroy the chametz, right? It's not simply to avoid being over bal yirah. There's a positive mitzvah to destroy the chametz. So if you do that through a non-Jew, you're not fulfilling the positive mitzvah. It's true that you're avoiding bal yirah, but you're missing out on the positive mitzvah of tashbisu. So if you hold like Rav Chaim, that the whole purpose of tashbisu is just to avoid being over bal yirah, it makes no difference if you use a goy or if you do it yourself, because there's no positive mitzvah to destroy the chametz. But Rabbi Kiva Eger is going l'shita, so he holds like he held before, that there's a positive mitzvah to destroy the chametz even in the chachamim. So that's why he rejects the option of giving it to a goy, because if you use a non-Jew, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah of tashbisu. So he says to destroy the Chol HaMoed. Yeah, you have to wait till Chol HaMoed. Or you have to rely on the shittas that you can burn it on Yom Tov, right, which is Tali in the Minhag. And then the other nafkamina that I wanted to just bring was that the Mishnah Berurah says that if you ever find chametz on Chol HaMoed, he says you can throw the chametz into the Beis HaKisei, like in the old days, the latrines, mm-hmm. because it'll be in the shmutz, and nobody would take it anyway, and that you're disowning. So the Chazon Ish asks, no, because it's not enough to avoid being over bal yirah, you also have to eradicate it. So here's another example where the Chazon Ish is going l'shitasai, that even in the chachamim, we're not burning it here, we're just getting rid of it, but even in the chachamim, there has to be a fulfillment of at least crumbling up the chametz. And if you simply toss it into where no one's going to take it, you didn't fulfill the positive mitzvah of tashbisu. So the idea I'm trying to bring out is that first of all, we have a machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and the chachamim if we have to burn the chametz in the first place. We have a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos when Rabbi Yehuda's halacha applies. What we do is just a remez. We're not fulfilling the mitzvah of burning according to anyone, because we're burning it while it's still even mutter b'hano in the fifth hour. And then we have a machlekes between the achroinim and Rav Chaim and Rav Kiva Eger and the Chazon Ish. What is the nature of the mitzvah of tashbisu in the chachamim? Is it simply to avoid bal yirah, where you can ask a non-Jew to get rid of it for you, or you can even throw it into the latrine, because as long as you're disowning it, it's good enough? Or is there a positive mitzvah to destroy the chametz, even if you don't have to burn it, but you at least have to crumble it and scatter it, and that's a positive fulfillment in the chametz itself? Yeah, sure. So yeah, but they're not talking about that. He was talking, right? That's